Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 86. Facebook and YouTube versus podcasting and email.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
All right, free market squad in the place to be. It's your boy, Nathan Fraser. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your day to hang with me. I am the high priest of propaganda, and you, more importantly, you are the free market squad. And today we're going to be talking about Facebook and YouTube versus podcasting and email. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit of a story about what's going on in my life right now. So I am actually, okay, so let's start from the beginning. So they have this saying in marketing called nail it and scale it. It's instead of diversifying and spreading yourself too thin at the very beginning, they say find one platform, find one venue, nail that, and then scale it. And so don't try and create a presence on Twitter and Snapchat and Facebook and YouTube all at one time. Just pick one platform and nail that platform. And then once you have that platform nailed, then you can start scaling out to other platforms. And I did that. I did that with podcasting and I did that with emails. I built up a podcast that was getting multiple thousands of downloads per episode. I built up an email list where I've got a few hundred people on my email list, and I was making decent money off of marketing stuff through my email. And I was like, okay, you know what? Everybody's talking about Facebook and YouTube and how you can start building a brand there and not having to pay for it. Because here's the deal. Email, I pay every month. I pay, I think it's something like $25 to get response to host my email mailing account. And obviously podcasting, you pay for that as well. I pay my own company, Podcast Blast Off. So I guess I get a cut back of what I pay for that, but I have to pay for podcast hosting and everything that comes included with Podcast Blast Off, the website and the RSS feed generator and all that stuff. But I pay for those, and everybody's like, well, you know, YouTube, you don't have to pay for that. And Facebook, you don't have to pay for that. And so, and all with over the last year, 2017, the big thing was Facebook video. You got to be using Facebook Lives. And if you're wanting to grow your audience, Facebook Live is the way to go. And I was like, all right, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon of Facebook Live. I'm going to follow the advice of all the gurus and I'm going to start doing more Facebook Lives. And so I did a giant increase in Facebook Lives over the last year and a half, actually. And, I didn't see the growth that I saw when I was exclusively focusing on podcasts. And here's what sucks is because I decided to start focusing more on Facebook and Facebook Live, and I'm not gonna completely front. I've picked up a lot of clients over the last year because of Facebook posts, and I'm sure I've probably picked up a few of them because of the Facebook Lives. But as far as actual engagement goes, as far as my content actually getting out there to people, I'm thinking maybe I wasted a year of my energy on Facebook Lives. And I'm going to kind of say, I'm going to explain why. And I toyed around with the idea of going back and doing more YouTube. And recently some changes in YouTube have also dissuaded me from that. And I'm going to talk about all of that. I'm also going to be talking about email and email marketing versus Facebook marketing, Facebook ads, and YouTube ads. So that's all what we're going to be talking about today, or I'm going to be talking about, and you're going to be listening. So that's just a little bit of a clue as to what's coming up. So why am I scaling back, and why am I refocusing on podcasts as opposed to continuing to go all in on Facebook Live and YouTube videos? So here's the deal. First of all, the algorithms. The algorithms on YouTube are notorious for censoring stuff. The algorithms on YouTube push what's trending in mainstream above what people are actually subscribing to. Subscriptions, there's a few people that I subscribe to that I don't even get notified. Even if I click the bell, click the bell to get notifications pushed to my phone. I still don't get those notifications. YouTube has started the new limited state thing where if they don't like what your video is about, they just make it to where nobody can even see it. It'll still be on YouTube, but you won't be able to share it. There's no link to share it out to. There's no way to comment on the video. There's no way to share the video with anybody. It won't show up in related related videos on the sidebar there. And so YouTube's been really cracking down on free speech. And this has been a long time thing. This has been a long time coming. YouTube's been doing this over the last year. I think it started in like late 2016, right before the election. YouTube started really censoring the type of stuff that they would allow to get out to their audience. And now it's just gotten worse. It's gotten to the point where a lot of my favorite content creators are leaving YouTube. A lot of the reason why I go to YouTube is no longer on YouTube. And so do I want to be part of a community that's dying? Do I want to be part of a community that's censoring itself into suicide? I'm not sure that it's really worth my time to invest in creating content for a platform that obviously doesn't care about anything that doesn't toe the party line, the mainstream narrative. And you're seeing more and more, and I get it. I mean, it's a video hosting platform. It's part of the reason why Podcast Blastoff doesn't do video podcasting is because it's expensive. It's expensive to host videos. And if you're hosting all those videos, you have to find a way to monetize it. And if you're trying to find a way to monetize it, you've got to be very careful about what you're putting ads in front of. And so I get it. I'm not like, oh, YouTube owes us the right to free speech. I'm not on that note at all. I understand where they're coming from, but because I understand it, I also understand that it's not the place for me and for my content. So, I was thinking about going to YouTube, and here's the reason why. So, Facebook videos, as you're scrolling through your timeline and a video, pops up in your timeline, they say that the average watch time for videos popping up in your timeline is 16 seconds. So people go on and they do a 2.5 minute live video. On average, people are only watching 16 seconds of it, which means if you're not giving your call to action within the first 16 seconds, you're probably losing people. But if they're catching it live, maybe they caught it 40 seconds in. So if you gave your call to action in the first 16 seconds, then they missed your call to action because they didn't watch the first 16 seconds because they came in the middle of the live broadcast. So it's incredibly hard to figure out when should I drop my call to action because the drop-off time on Facebook is just so phenomenally high. It's like I said, 16 seconds is the average watch time. For Facebook watch videos, Facebook's new feature where they have like promoted videos in the watch section. It's like the little TV icon. It's not much better. The average watch time for Facebook watch videos, which are like full production, value videos, 23 seconds, 23 seconds. And these are half hour, 15 minute long shows. And the average watch time is 23 seconds. It's a waste. It's a waste to be creating all that content and the average watch time to be between 16 and 23 seconds. That's just ridiculous. So, And I'm thinking about not focusing so much on Facebook live video, going forward. Also, and here's the deal. YouTube, the reason why I was thinking about going to YouTube is slightly better. The average watch time on YouTube is 4 minutes and 20 seconds. 420, dude. The average watch time on YouTube is 4 minutes and 20 seconds, which is significantly better than on Facebook. I think it's because people go to YouTube to watch videos. People don't go to Facebook to watch videos. People go to Facebook to scroll, to be entertained, to see what people are doing. They're not really going to Facebook to watch videos. So when all the gurus were saying, you need to be on Facebook, you need to be making Facebook lives, well, that's not what people are going to Facebook for. People aren't going to Facebook to watch your live videos. A very small amount of people are. Here's the other thing. YouTube doesn't count a video view until somebody's watched at least 30 seconds. So if somebody drops off at 28 seconds, they don't count that as a view. Facebook, on the other hand, counts a view at 3 seconds. If somebody watches 3 seconds of a video, they count that as a view. So if they're scrolling and something catches their attention and they watch your video for 3 seconds to see if it's something that's worth watching, even if they only stop scrolling for 3 seconds, Facebook counts that as a view. And so your video will say you got 140 views, but out of those 140 views, maybe 2 people watch the entire thing. And so it's very deceptive. Facebook is very deceptive on tallying the view count. So again, another thing that I don't know. Another problem is 85% of Facebook video is watched without the sound on. And you probably know this yourself as you're scrolling through Facebook. You probably watch anything that you actually do watch is probably without the sound. And you probably you could probably say this honestly for yourself too. Your average watch time on Facebook is probably about 16 seconds. You probably don't watch much more than 16 seconds on average of any video that you scroll past. Maybe some keep you for a couple of minutes, but the vast majority probably keep you for way less than 16 seconds. So, and you probably watch, I would say 80% of the stuff that 85%, according to Facebook, of the stuff that people watch is watched without the audio. So as somebody who's trying to get a message out there, somebody just watching your face and your mouth move, that's not very helpful for you. So again, and then here's another just horrifying statistic. 42% of videos uploaded to YouTube have 0 views within the first 24 hours. Almost half of everything that gets uploaded to YouTube within the most important time, the first 24 hours are usually when you're going to get the majority of your views. And within the first 24 hours, almost half of the videos uploaded to YouTube don't get any views at all. So for long form content, podcasting, in my opinion, it's the best. It takes up less battery life on your cell phone. If people are listening to your podcast on their iPod or their cell phone, it takes up less battery life because the screen is not on, and you can still play audio, unlike YouTube where you have to pay extra to be able to turn the screen off and still listen. Unlike Facebook, which just eats up your battery, podcasts, you can just download the podcast before you go to work or before you go work out or before you go for your walk or whatever you're going to be doing. You just download it, turn it on, listen to it. The screen doesn't have to be on, so it saves your battery life as opposed to Facebook video and Facebook live and YouTube video. Also, here's like one of the most convincing statistics for me. 40% of podcast listeners, and this comes from Edison Research, and this was just at the end of last year that they released these numbers, 40% of podcast listeners listen to the entire podcast episode. Almost half of everybody that turns on a podcast will listen all the way to the end of the podcast. And on average, podcast episodes range from being like 17 minutes all the way to being 2+ hours, like the Joe Rogan show sometimes goes 2, 3, 4 hours. 40% of listeners listen to that entire 2, 3, 4 hours of content. 45% of listeners listen to most of the episode, so 80% of the episode or more. So 85% of people are listening to either the entire podcast or most of the podcast, as compared to Facebook live videos where people are only watching 16 seconds on average. So if you really want to keep people's attention, if you really want to retain and build that relationship with people, podcasting is by far the way to go. It's just a way higher retention rate than either YouTube or Facebook. So when it comes to content, if you're trying to create content, podcasting is king right now. There's nothing that performs as well as podcasting as far as getting your content into the listeners' ear holes. And here's the other thing too. I mentioned the algorithms earlier. Facebook picks and chooses what you see when you log on. YouTube picks and chooses for you what you're going to see when you log on. When you subscribe to a podcast, there's no middleman picking and choosing which podcast you get to listen to. When you subscribe, when you log into your podcast app, whether it's iTunes or the podcast app on iPhone or Podcast Addict is the one that I use, or Stitcher or Google Play, whatever it is, if you've subscribed, as soon as you refresh, new episodes are right there waiting for you. There's no algorithm in between you and the stuff that you're going there to get like there is on Facebook and YouTube, which means as a content creator, when people subscribe to your podcast, they're guaranteed to see it when new episodes show up. But when somebody follows you on Facebook or when somebody follows you on YouTube, they're not guaranteed to see new content whenever they log in. In fact, YouTube and Facebook are going to pick and choose whether or not people see your content when they log in, even if they're subscribed, even if they're following you. So another huge advantage to podcasting, which makes me feel a little bit foolish for slacking on my podcast over the last year while I took time to focus on Facebook and YouTube. A good advertisement is like a good story. It pulls your prospect in, takes them on a journey, and delivers them to a buying decision. Too bad most ads suck. Most ads come off as hypey and salesy. Even worse, they come off as boring or confusing. Most business owners suck at writing ads, and most shoppers have learned to tune them out completely. Want the secret formula I use for writing my ads? You want your ads to stand out from all the noise? Want to know 9 foundational elements that make up a compelling piece of sales copy? Would you like some of the best editing tips I use to keep people reading what I write? Want it all for free? Well, I've got you covered. Head on over to copyandfunnels.com/guide and download your free advertiser's cheat sheet today. That's copyandfunnels.com/guide. Download your free guide and start getting more sales from your ads today. copyandfunnels.com/guide. Now, what about advertising? What about when it comes to advertising? Advertising on YouTube and advertising on Facebook versus email marketing. And I'm going to say this. I haven't advertised on YouTube very much. We advertised on YouTube mid-2016. Didn't see a very good response on it at all. We advertised on YouTube for about a month and a half, and we spent a lot more money than we got back. So it was not worth it, in my opinion. I wasted money advertising on YouTube. I have advertised on Facebook. Back in 2014 or 15, when they first opened up advertising to little guys like me, I was putting in money on Facebook and selling t-shirts. And for every $15, $20 that I was putting in, I was making like $300 or $400 back. So advertising on Facebook back in the day was super lucrative. It was well worth the investment. Over the years, though, it's become more and more competitive. They've restricted the ability to target people. It's been very hurtful for the way that I advertised. And it's become to where for every $15 or $20 that I put into YouTube advertising, if I'm selling a low ticket item like a t-shirt, it's almost impossible to make money back off of YouTube, or I mean off of Facebook advertising now. So I've pretty much come to a complete stop on low ticket things. On Podcast Blastoff, I still use Facebook advertising. Because our customer lifetime value is, our average customer lifetime value is about $400, $450 right now. So spending $30 to acquire a new customer on Facebook is still valuable because we keep our customers for a long time. And we get about, like I said, about $450 is our average customer lifetime value. So Facebook for Podcast Blastoff, advertising through Facebook is still profitable. But for t-shirts, absolutely not. For small ticket items, absolutely not. I'm going to start playing with Facebook advertising for running people to lead magnets for copy and funnels. And we'll see how that works. Because I charge so much for copywriting and for consultations, I have an idea that it'll be worthwhile. But we'll see. It's going to be an experiment. It's something that the results haven't come back yet for, so I'm not sure what the results are going to be. But here's the deal. Both both YouTube and Facebook over the last week have come out with some pretty scary statements as far as advertising goes. YouTube just the day before yesterday sent me a notification saying that they're demonetizing my YouTube channel. They're saying that anybody with less than 1,000 subscribers, which I have a little bit over 2,000 subscribers, is being demonetized. But they're also saying anybody with less than, I think it was 100 or maybe 40,000 watch hours or 100,000 watch hours within the last year is also being demonetized, which means if you're not constantly putting out new content on YouTube and long form content at that, that they're going to be demonetizing your channels. And YouTube's just notorious for the last year or so. They've had what's been called the adpocalypse, where just pretty much G-rated stuff has been demonetized left and right because it didn't push the political opinion or it went against the prevailing political opinion of YouTube. They've just been demonetizing people for no reason at all. Even like some of the, even like PewDiePie, who's one of the biggest creators on YouTube, because he's not towing the official party line that YouTube, tends to, I guess, promote. They've been demonetizing videos of PewDiePie, which is crazy because PewDiePie is like very mild mannered. Yeah, he's a little bit edgy, but, compared to some of the other stuff that's on YouTube, like compared to the Young Turks, who are constantly dropping all kinds of F-bombs and curse words and very inflammatory statements, the Young Turks don't seem to have a problem with getting their videos monetized. But for some reason, PewDiePie, who's way tamer than they are, has been getting a lot of his videos demonetized lately. So, YouTube is so screwy when it comes to monetization. But because of that, and because of, I guess it was because PewDiePie and his N-word during a live stream, that was very harmful. They've tried to label him an alt-right Nazi. And so some of the biggest guy, Philip DeFranco also has been getting some of his videos demonetized. Mundane Matt, Andy Worski, who's like one of the hugest creators on YouTube right now. All of these guys, because they're not hardcore leftists, they're having their videos demonetized, even though they're bringing in tons of people to the platform. And so these guys are saying, you know what? I'm leaving. I'm looking for new places to put my content because YouTube is not worth it for me. And now as those people leave, and because more advertisers are saying, well, we don't feel safe putting our advertisements in front of people that are going to use the N-word on their live stream, which I understand that. I'm not insensitive to that. As an advertiser, I get that. I understand why you might not want your content or your ads being shown in front of that content. I totally get it. But because of that, a lot of advertisers are pulling out of YouTube. And because I think a lot of advertisers are experiencing the same thing that I experienced when they advertise with YouTube, which is they're not getting the responses that they expect. They're not getting the engagement, they're not getting the click-through rates that they expect for what they're paying, and they're bidding more than what it's worth. And so, and same thing with Facebook. Facebook, it's become so competitive, and the click-through rates have become so expensive that they've come to the point where it's not worth it for most advertisers. And so a lot of advertisers are saying, we're not going to continue paying for Facebook ads. We're not going to continue paying for YouTube ads. And so now YouTube is like, well, we've got all this content and we don't have advertisers to put this content in front of. So we need to kind of scale back on who we can allow to put content or put advertisers or advertisements in front of. Man, I screwed that sentence up. So both YouTube and Facebook are at this point where they can't bring enough advertisers in. Facebook's also been caught messing with the numbers, giving false readings on click-through rates and lying to the advertisers about how effective their ad campaigns have been. And so because of all of this, a lot of advertisers are pulling their money out of Facebook and pulling their money out of YouTube. And what that results in is we've got all this content and we don't have enough ads to put in front of it. So we're going to have to scale back on who we're putting ads in front of their content, which in YouTube's case, that means demonetizing a lot of channels. And that's going to drive people away from creating on YouTube, which is going to drive viewers away from YouTube, which is going to kind of probably cause a downward spiral for YouTube. So I don't want to invest in a platform that's in the middle of its downward spiral demise. And on Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg just recently announced that they're going to be doing less advertising in the newsfeed because they want to improve the experience of the view of the average YouTube or the average Facebook user. That's not the real reason. It's because people are pulling their money out of advertising on Facebook, because unless you have a high ticket item, and even then, Facebook is just, it's not the platform that it used to be for advertising on. So people are moving away from advertising on Facebook and YouTube. And so those platforms are becoming more expensive than they're worth. Advertisers are leaving more content than advertisers to support that content. And that's where we're at with both YouTube and Facebook. And so here's the opposite side of that coin, which is email. I still email market. I still pay GetResponse to send out emails for me. I went from email marketing every single day to email marketing 3 or 4 times a week, sometimes 2 or 3 times a week, because I was focusing on Facebook and YouTube. And I'm going back to email. I'm taking my energy away from Facebook in particular, and I'm going back to email. And the reason why is, so here's some statistics about email. And these are just from the end of last year. 72% of people prefer to receive promotional content through email, compared to 17% who prefer social media. I know chatbots are all the biggest buzz right now, but people don't go to their social media to be advertised to. People ignore advertisements in social media. Most people don't ignore or even prefer to receive promotional content through email. Like I said, 72% of people prefer, when they go to their email, they're expecting to see advertisements. They're in buyer mindset. When they open up their email, they know that they're going to be sold. They're expecting to buy stuff when they go to email. When they go to Facebook, they're not expecting to buy stuff. They don't go to Facebook to be advertised to. They get annoyed when they're advertised to in Facebook. And that's why everybody's freaking out about chatbots are the new best thing. And if that ends up being the case, it's going to be because people are going to have to change their expectations on their inbox. When people go to check their inbox in Facebook, they're going to have to expect to be advertised to. And right now, the average person is annoyed by that more than, and again, just because they're annoyed doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. I guess what I'm saying, just like pop-ups, people get annoyed by pop-ups, but they work. I have pop-ups on both of my websites because they work. They collect a lot of emails for me. But it's been my experience. I make more sales through email than I do through, and I really haven't started testing out chatbots. Maybe that'll be something that I do test out, but I'm just because of the way Facebook is going, I'm a little bit skeptical of it. We'll see. It'll be something that I play around with, but I am doubling down on email going into 2018. Maybe this episode should have been called Lessons I Learned from 2017 and Changes I'm Making in 2018. Here's another thing. Email is 40 times more effective at acquiring new customers than Facebook or Twitter. And this is something that I've absolutely... advertising on Twitter is an absolute waste of money. I don't know anybody who's been able to get a return on investment from advertising through Twitter. I have been able to get a return on investment through Facebook, but I can tell you my return on investment through email advertising, email marketing is vastly superior to anything that I make on Facebook right now. Email is where it's at for me. And like I said, the stat says email is 40 times more effective at acquiring new customers than Facebook or Twitter. 89% of marketers say that email is their primary channel for lead generation. I'm going to say that as well. Email is absolutely my primary channel for lead generation. When people sign up on my email list, they get to know me. They get to see how good I am at writing. They get to see how good I am at marketing, and it keeps me top of mind. So even if they don't buy from me today, 6 months from now, when they're ready to buy, I'm the first guy that they think of. And, that's only possible through email. So absolutely, I agree with this. 80% of marketers say that email, or 89% of marketers say that email is their primary channel for lead generation, absolutely for me as well. And then this is the last one. 54% of marketers rate email as the most effective form of marketing and the easiest to execute. And think about this. All the different platforms for marketing. There's traditional media like TV. There's phone book advertising. There's newspaper advertising. There's direct mail advertising. There's Facebook advertising, YouTube advertising, Google pay-per-click advertising, Yelp advertising. There's all these different forms of advertising out there. Hundreds of different ways to advertise. Hundreds of different platforms to advertise on. 54%, half of the marketers, half of the professionals out there in advertising rate one single channel as the most effective and the easiest to execute, and that's email. Out of all the platforms out there, half of the people using them say that only one of them is the most effective. Email has 54% of the market share when it comes to being the most effective and the easiest to execute. And I can say that's true. Email is so much easier than anything else because when people go to the newspaper, they expect to see a professional advertisement that meets the editorial standards of the newspaper. When people go to TV, they expect their advertisements to be highly produced, very well polished to match what they're expecting to see or what they're used to seeing on television. When people go to wherever the case may be, they expect to see a very like a newspaper or a magazine. When they're looking through magazines, they expect the advertisement to meet the quality of everything else in the advertisement in the magazine. When people go to their email, email is very laxed. Email doesn't have people expect to see grammatical errors in their emails. People expect to see short, quick emails. People expect to see sometimes difficult to read emails because that's how we communicate with each other. So the bar of excellency when it comes to emails is not set as high as it is when it comes to magazines or television or radio advertising. So email is so much easier. Writing email copy is probably the easiest place to start when it comes to writing copy. So if you're a business owner and you're not a very good copywriter, and you want to start learning how to be a better copywriter, email is the way to go. It's the easiest to get into, and it's the most effective. It's got the highest return on investment. 54% of marketers agree with me on this. So that's why in 2018, I'm refocusing on podcasts. I'm refocusing on emails. I'm not going to be paying nearly as much attention to YouTube. I'm not going to be paying nearly as much attention to Facebook. And I'm doubling down on what got me to where I'm at, and I'm ignoring the stuff that have just been wasting my time over the last year. So I don't know. What do you think? Am I totally off point, or did I make some good points? Did you get what I'm? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? If you did, good. I hope I persuaded you because I want my listeners to have an advantage. I want you to have an advantage, and I feel like I made I don't know if I made a mistake. I made a learning experience. That's probably the better way to say it. But going forward, yeah, I'm doubling down on podcasting. I'm doubling down on email marketing, and I've got some, if I've won you over to the fact that you should be podcasting, that you should be utilizing email, I've got two things that I want to tell you about. So first of all, I've got a free quick start guide for podcasting if you're thinking about starting a podcast, and this was enough to nudge you over to the fence to where now you realize you need to start a podcast. Get my quick start guide. Go over to podcastblastoff.com/course, and you can download our quick start guide. It teaches you everything you need to know about what kind of equipment you need to get started podcasting. Where you should host your podcasts, how to put a podcast website together, how to get your podcast listed on iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and all that stuff, all in this really quick, easy to consume, little mini course. It's called the podcast quick start guide. Again, you can get that over at podcastblastoff.com/course. And I've got a new course coming out on email copy. It's going to walk through, I can't even get into everything, but it's going to be a beast of a course. I'm putting it together with Landon Porter. I worked with him last year on his course for getting clients without being salesy. And we're combining forces again to make this new email marketing course. It's going to be a beast, though. I'm probably going to be selling it for around $295. We'll see. That's what I'm expecting. It's going to be, that's what I'm expecting the going price is going to be for it. But I am going to be doing early pre-sales for it, and I'm probably going to be doing the pre-sales for between $50 and $97, somewhere in between there. If you want to get in on the pre-sale offer, you need to be signed up for my mailing list, and the only way to get signed up for my mailing list right now is to go to copyandfunnels.com/guide and get your free advertiser's cheat sheet. And when I, you'll get signed up for my emailing list. And when I do put out this course, you'll be the first one to know. You'll be able to take advantage of the pre-sell offer. And so, yeah, that's the two things. If you want to start podcasting and you need a quick start guide for podcasting, go to podcastblastoff.com/course. And if you're interested in getting into email marketing and you want to get early access to the course I'm putting together for email marketing, make sure that you're signed up on my other mailing list, which can be found over at copyandfunnels.com/guide. All right. My name is Nathan Frazier. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that this information will be beneficial for you going into 2018, and you can check out more of this podcast. Make sure you're subscribed. You can find it over at NathanFrazierShow.com, and we've got new outro music coming in for you right now. All right, I'm Nathan Frazier, High Priest of Propaganda. I love you. I'm out of here. Be your own boss. Deuces. Did you enjoy the show? If you did, other people might enjoy it as well, and you can help me get into the ears of those other people. And the best way to do that is to go over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. That'll help push us up in the iTunes search categories and help us get a little bit more exposure and help get the message of The Nathan Frazier Show into the ears of more listeners. So head on over to iTunes, leave us a rating, leave us a review. You'll be helping me out. I really appreciate it. I'm Nathan Frazier. I'm out of here. Deuces.